doing tonight, ladies? Okay. All right, so quick question for you. Who has ever looked up a recipe on Pinterest? Anyone? Okay. And Pinterest can be kind of deceiving sometimes because you might see a recipe and be like, I'm going to make that. And then you make it and it might not turn out exactly like you planned. So we call those Pinterest fails. So if you look up here, we have a few examples that for sure do not look like the intended result. So anyway, not that I've ever done that, but from what I hear, these things can happen. So in my family, we have some really special people. And so, like Gigi said, my name is Laura Smith, but I'm known around Watermark as Baker by a lot of different people. And so the truth is, I am not the original Baker. So I want to introduce you to a few special people in my life via aprons. Okay, so this apron is one that my great-grandmother made. She was born in 1898. And this was her apron for when she would host Christmas parties and things like that. She loved to bake. She would go all around the state of Oklahoma teaching people how to bake and how to cook. So this is Mimo's apron. And so Mimo would be Baker. And then we come, this is Grandma Bonnie. So Mimo left the legacy in Grandma Bonnie of baking, of cooking, of spending time with family. And so Grandma Bonnie would be Baker 2.0. And she had two aprons, and this one, most people would think it goes down here, but grandmas like to wear their aprons up here. And so this was her dishwashing apron right here. So if you can't see that, because it, you know, lean up against the sink and you get some water. So this was the dishwashing apron, but my very, very favorite apron that grandma had was this one right here. And so this was the baking apron, and it was worn like, you know, at a normal height. And we would make rolls, we would make breakfast, we would make everything. So not only was this grandma's apron, she made a little mini one for each one of us, for the granddaughters, which was really sweet. That one does not fit me anymore. So we'll just show you grandma's. So I love baking, and I love it a lot. That used to be a profession of mine a while back. So then some things that I love about baking are the precision. It's very exact. There's a science behind it. And really, if we're being honest, I love the results of the baking. So when you bake something good, and everybody, who doesn't like fresh rolls or fresh cookies? Don't raise your hand, because I will judge you if you don't like those. But one thing, I love it when people ask me for a recipe. So if you come to me and say, hey, Laura or Baker, what's your favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe? Excuse me, I will give it to you, but it will have the right measurements, it will have the ingredients, it will have the steps on how to make it, and I promise you it will be good if you make it just like I tell you. But if you decide to go and make it your own, if you will not turn out. So it drives me crazy when people come back and say, oh, that recipe was bad. No, you didn't do it right, so that's why it turned out bad. But my very favorite recipe that grandma taught me how to make are rolls. And, you know, like the Thanksgiving rolls, the ones that are buttery and you can't put enough butter on them because you just can't, like pounds and pounds is fine. And we would make those at Thanksgiving. So the rule is everyone gets at least one. And if you're like me, then you usually shove one in a pocket as well. So you can be sure to have at least two. We will be coming back to the rolls throughout tonight, so tuck that away. Right now, we're going to move forward. I want us to go back about 3,000 years to David in the book of 2 Samuel. And we want to see tonight, how did God begin to unfold his promise to David? So y'all better believe it. God is faithful. Okay, so tonight when I say y'all better believe it, I want you to say God is faithful. So let's practice. Y'all better believe it. That was really good. Y'all are good. Quick learners. Okay, so we have three sections we're going to talk about tonight. So the first one being ask, listen, and obey. And the second one being to whom will you listen? And the third, so how long is a long time? So let's start off. Okay, quick quiz. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Oh, that was so good. Y'all are really good. Okay. So let's start off in chapter 2 of 2 Samuel, verses 1 through 4. I'll read it to you here. In the course of time, David inquired of the Lord, "Shall I go up to one of the towns of Judah?" he asked. The Lord said, "Go up." David asked, "Where shall I go?" "To Hebron," the Lord answered. So David went up there with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail, the widow of Nabal of Carmel. David also took the men who were with him, each with his family, and they settled in Hebron and its towns. So what did David do here? He inquired, he listened, he inquired, he listened, and he obeyed. So David had a conversation with God. So con meaning with, he did not have a monversation with God, where it was one way of just him talking to him. So sorry. So prayer is a conversation with the Lord. It's when we get to talk with him. So he speaks to us and we get to speak with him. Jesus made a way for us to be able to pray and go straight to God. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." David could obey God because he knew him and he trusted him. David knew that his heart was in need of the Lord. So his obedience came out of a heart of a need. It changes our response to God, "How do I do this? How do I follow you?" And when we ask, he answers. While David was waiting for a while, and he wrote several of the Psalms, and so something he wrote here about obedience comes from Psalm 40, thank you, verses 6 through 8. "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but my ears you have opened. Burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not require. Then I said, 'Here I am, I have come. It is written about me in the scroll. I desire to do your will, my God. Your law is within my heart.'" So David's obedience came because he knew God's word and he knew the Lord. So how can we, ladies, inquire and listen to the Lord? So when we read God's word, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we listen to other believers who also know God's word and listen to the Holy Spirit. So again, how do we inquire of the Lord? We read God's word, we listen to the Holy Spirit, and we get advice from godly people who also know God's word and listen to his Spirit. I had a Bible study leader several years ago that said, "Go to the throne before the phone." So we live in a time where the Googler, as I call it, is really easy to use, right? We can take out a phone, we can look anything up, we can text our friends, we can call our mom, and we can do all of those things to find an answer. And I will confess, I'm quick to do that sometimes before going straight to the Lord. So he calls us to go to him, and he's made a way for us to do that. My community group right now is reading a book called Uninvited by Lisa Turkhurst. And she talks about viewing prayer as an intimate time with the Lord. And in those conversations, she says, "I uninvite the enemy's entanglements so I can fully invite my sweet Jesus in." She sees prayer as an opportunity to grow her relationship with the Lord. We have that same opportunity, ladies. That's a relationship in which the devil is not welcome. But we get to sit at the Lord's feet and talk to him and listen to him and then know what he wants us to do. So David's obedience allowed him to watch God begin to unfold his promise. And God continued to show his faithfulness. So in chapter 2, verse 4, it says, "The men of Judah came to Hebron, and there they anointed David king over the house of Judah." So this was a step to fulfillment of God's promise. David had to wait to see God fulfill it. More than 15 years before, in 1 Samuel 16, is when Samuel told David, "You are anointed by the Lord. You will be king over Israel." So now fast forward 15 plus years when this happens, and David is now anointed king over Judah. So not even over all of Israel yet, but it's a step in God fulfilling his promise. So you can always count on God to fulfill his promises, and we know those promises when we read his word. Now, there is a difference between our expectations and God's promises, so we can't get those confused. But his promises are true. So a side benefit of David becoming king and being obedient to where the Lord wanted him to go is he was able to receive closure after Saul's and Jonathan's deaths. The men of Jabesh-Gilead were the ones that buried Saul's and Jonathan's bones. And so David was able to honor them and thank them and show them favor for that. Those are men that otherwise David probably would not have either encountered or for sure not have been allies with those men. So my question for you is, what have you had to wait for, or maybe still are waiting for? A boyfriend? Or a better marriage? Perhaps a job? Or resolved conflict? What do you do while you wait? Do you compare yourself? Do you isolate? Do you serve? Or do you pray? So what did David do in those 15 plus years while he was waiting on the Lord? He got busy, ladies. He wrote some Psalms. That is a whole book. If you've never read it, tuck it away and read it soon. But some of the Psalms he wrote were Psalm 9, 11, 31, 57 through 59, 64, and more. So not only did he write those, but he meditated on those and he prayed over those for a long, long time. Okay, if you have your pen, take it out. I'm a teacher, by the way, so take out your pens. We're going to write down an answer. What is your attitude while you wait? What is your heart while you wait? Are you impatient, entitled, jealous, trusting, faithful, or joyful? Let's look at David's attitude in the Psalms that he wrote. And these are just some of them. It's not all of them by any means. But he was thankful. He rejoiced. He recognized the Lord's sovereignty. He took refuge in the Lord. He trusted in God to be his rock, his fortress, and his stronghold. He sought God's mercy. He cried out to the Lord, especially while he felt forgotten. He dedicated himself to the Lord, was hopeful in the Lord. He praised the Lord among the nations. David didn't just sit still, but was among the nations. He asked the Lord to take care of business with the enemy, so finish him off. And specifically in chapter 58, he prayed for God to break their teeth and their mouths and to make them like a slug that melts away as it moves along. Y'all, I hope no one ever prays that about me if I'm their enemy, for sure. He sought deliverance from the Lord. He sought refuge in the Lord, and he trusted the Lord to be good. So part of waiting is trusting God even when our lives don't look like what we thought they would look like. Okay, so challenge. Think back 5 or 10 years ago in your life when you were thinking, in 2017, my life will look like fill in the blank. Please raise your hand. Does your life look like that now? Nobody? Y'all, that is shocking. My hand's not up either. That's okay. So mine does not. I am 35 years old, and I had pictured that at this point in my life, this is authentic here, okay, I would be married to a gorgeous 6'3" Australian guy with a great accent, living in a beautiful home, overlooking incredible scenery, and I would stay at home with our two beautiful children. That's not the case. So Again, I'm 35. I'm single. I am a teacher, so I have hundreds of children that sometimes call me mom. I guess that counts. And I live in Dallas. There is no scenery in Dallas. I have a tree, and I think it's alive still. I'm not good with that stuff. So when I look back over that, I wouldn't change any of that where I am right now. God's ways are higher than my ways. His purpose is higher than my purpose. And he is good and faithful and continually shows us that. So had I got married in college right after and then had children right after that, and my plan would have worked out, I would not have the faith that I have right now. I had not heard the gospel clearly yet at that point in my life. And I would still be serving others out of a desire to be seen or recognized or get the praise of man and hoping to get the praise of the Lord. I wouldn't know what it's like to resolve conflict in a biblical way because I was under the presumption that I was like Mary Poppins, so practically perfect in every way. And not realizing that my sin means that practically perfect is imperfect, and we have a perfect God. I would not know what it's like to trust the Lord every day, and I wouldn't know the peace that he alone can give. I would be lonely, angry, bitter, jealous, etc., etc. And so while my life may not look like what I thought it would, my God is consistent. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that's the same lesson that David learned. He waited, but he saw God's consistency over the course of time. Okay, you ready? Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Oh, that was so good. That was like 5 minutes later. That was awesome. Okay, so God is faithful to keep his word in his time. And his faithfulness does not depend on ours. So let's go back to the roles for just a second. I know the person that made the very best roles, right? So Grandma Bonnie, I know her. And I know that I could trust her because she had the recipe and she had the butter. And she said a few really important things. You've got to get good ingredients to get a good product. And you need a good recipe to have the right product as well. So Grandma said butter is really important. Guys, we would buy like 13 pounds of butter for Thanksgiving and usually have to go back and get more. So Brahms butter is all that Grandma would buy. So that's the only place that I buy butter because that's what Grandma did. She had the roll recipe, and I could trust that because I had tasted over and over and over again how good it was and consistent it was. So whenever I would make the rolls at my house, when I wouldn't be with Grandma, I would call and say, all right, Grandma, here's what they look like. Am I on the right track? And she would walk me through it, even though, you know, there was no FaceTime back then. But she would make sure that I was on the right track. And then when I was with her and she couldn't bake anymore, she would sit up at the kitchen island and have the recipe open in front of her, and she would supervise. That's what we called it, with butter. And so she would sit up there and follow along and make sure that we were doing the right thing. She made sure to tell me, patience is so important, and following the directions are so important. And if you do those two things, so patience and following the directions, your roles will turn out perfectly every time. So let's recap that. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
To keep his word in his time, and his faithfulness does not depend on ours. Okay, our next section, here we go. So section two, to whom will you listen? For a little backstory, in 1 Samuel chapter 26, there was a guy named Abner. And Abner was Saul's army commander. And Saul and Abner and the rest of the army were camped out and sleeping overnight. David saw an opportunity, went over, and instead of killing Saul, that he could have at that point, he took his spear and he took his water jug and went back to his camp. And he called out, Saul, I've got your stuff. And so all of a sudden, Abner, the army commander, was called out because he did not do his job. he failed at protecting Saul. David chose to not kill him, but Abner didn't do his job well. So Abner had kind of a bitter taste in his mouth toward David at that point, and that affected his future as well. So now we're back in 2 Samuel. Abner appointed Ish-bosheth, we'll call him Ishi. So he appointed Ishi king over Israel. Perhaps he did that so that he could be a strong power behind a weak leader. We don't really know. But that was very different than how David was chosen by God and anointed by the men around him to be king. So we have Abner, Saul's commander, and Joab, David's commander. They were both men that were really military-minded and dedicated to their sides. And they decided, let's take our men out by the pool. So they each take their men out around this pool. And then they said, hey, 12 versus 12, man-to-man combat, and they got after it. Now, if I'm at a pool in the desert, I'm not going man-to-man combat. I'm going to be laying out, asking, you know, for my bottled water or whatever. I'm not wanting to watch men kill themselves like this. So they got out, they had battle, and it ended up being a really bloody day. Lots of bloodshed. So David's side ended up losing 20 men, and Saul's side ended up losing 360. That was probably not what they had envisioned when they decided to go out to the pool that morning. So at that point, Abner and his men are retreating, and Joab's brother, Asahel, was really fast. He was a fast runner, and the Bible describes him as fleet-footed as a gazelle. That is not how I am described when I run, but okay, so here's Abner, Asahel chasing after Joab, and Joab's, turn left, turn right, go kill somebody else. And Asahel's like, no, I'm coming after you. And finally, Abner decided to kill Asahel with his spear. So Asahel dies, right? All of the rest of David's men that are now coming stop, and they pay their respects to Asahel's body. But Joab and Abishai, Asahel's brothers, decide, we're continuing on. We're going to get Abner. So they keep going and they pursue him. And at this point, Abner had gathered several of the Benjamites, part of the tribe of Israel, and they're up there saying, let's just all get along. Can't we all just get along? Calling for a ceasefire, not in so many words, but calling for a ceasefire. And so Joab pretty much said, if you would have kept your mouth shut, we would not be here right now. Call them out on it. But they took the ceasefire and they ended up going back to David. So let's compare Abner and Joab with David. So Abner and Joab did not inquire of the Lord and they did not inquire of their leaders. They fought and their day ended in a lot of death. They went where they saw fit. Whereas on the other hand, we have David, where he inquired of the Lord and he listened and he obeyed. He went where the Lord called him, and he was able to watch God at work. Pretty different outcomes, if you ask me. So, question for you ladies. When have you taken matters into your own hands, like Abner and Joab did, perhaps out of impatience or control? Maybe a forced relationship or a broken-off friendship, a job or a move? I struggle with control and impatience, and that is a really bad combination. So my community often has to come around and remind me, seek the Lord's guidance. It's not about you, but trust in his word, because God's faithful. So verses that they take me to often are Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. So trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make your path straight. Okay, y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Okay, so good. All right, he is always at work, even when we don't see him. We might not understand why or how he's at work. His word is perfect and trustworthy, even when we don't consult it. So let's talk about a disaster I had with some roles a few years ago. So confession. Pinterest fail. It was not Instagram worthy at all, so you don't even get to see a picture of this. But a few years ago, my grandma passed away, and I was missing her and wanted to make the rolls because, you know, carbs are comfort food. And I decided, I have so many good memories of making these with my grandma. I'll just do it. So I went and got everything out. Did not quite do it as I should have. So while I had good memories of making the rolls, I had a very inaccurate memory of the recipe itself. And so it ended up in a lot of frustration and wasted ingredients and wasted time. And I did not have any carbs at dinner, which was really sad. So it would have been much easier and less frustrating had I walked 3 feet over to the shelf, gotten the recipe down, and followed the directions. But when I took things into my hands to do it my way, it did not result as it should have. So y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
He is always at work, even though we may not see it or understand why. And his word is true, even when we don't consult him. Okay, our last part here. So how long is a long time? So chapter 3, verse 1. The war between the house of Saul and David lasted a long time. David grew stronger and stronger while the house of Saul grew weaker and weaker. The house of Saul or house of David, that just means their descendants. So what was the root of this war? Saul's pride, anger, jealousy, fear, and keep on going from there. So my life before Christ would have matched up really closely with Team Saul. I was bitter, angry, proud, jealous, unforgiving, power hungry, you name it. And other than the fact that he's a man and I'm a woman, he was married, I'm not, he had kids, I don't. Like, other than those fringe things, our character would have matched up very much. So I had a friend that told me about Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, which says, it is by grace you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork created in Christ Jesus to do the good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. So there's nothing I can do to earn God's love or his grace or forgiveness. I had the choice to accept that gift or to keep on living like I had been. And let me tell you that making the choice to accept that gift has made all the difference in the world for me. So God has changed me from someone who is really angry to now to somebody who's pretty joyful. From unforgiving to forgiving. From someone who is fearful to confident in who he has made me to be. So had I not allowed the Lord to change my heart, my line or my house would have grown weaker and weaker like Saul's. But after trusting in the Lord, I was able to trust that his faithfulness never fails and his love always endures. And so while I don't have a house of my own, I don't have children, but I do have kids I've mentored. I have family members. And I have hundreds of students that I pray will know the Lord's goodness and faithfulness because they've seen the way that he has changed my life and my heart. So my life after Christ looks like Saul in the fact that we need a savior and we're broken, but God can change us when we let him. So the war lasted a long time and we don't know exactly how long. So my question for you is, how have you seen God's faithfulness play out over time? Perhaps mended relationships or healing. Maybe people you know come to faith or peace after a time of chaos. For me, it's contentment in who the Lord has made me to be in him and where he has me right now. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Oh, ladies, we'll try that again. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
That was much better. And he is consistent, even when we're not. So in the midst of chaos, war, and uncertainty, he is still at work and can change hearts. So back to the rolls one last time. So Grandma was one of the most patient people I have ever met in my life. And with a woman who raised three boys and was married, I don't know how that happened, but she was still able to be patient. These are the rolls, y'all. Look at those. Look at the buttery goodness that is on top of those rolls. If you can't tell, I really like butter, but that's different. Okay, so the roll dough has to rise twice in this recipe. So sometimes for 30 minutes, sometimes for an hour. It just depends on how warm the house is. And I've already told you that I struggle with impatience a lot. And so I like to speed things along and get them done as fast as I can in my way because I know that that's the result and I want it now. But if I bake them before they've risen to the right amount, they are dense and hard as rocks. And who wants to eat a buttery rock? Nobody. Nobody wants to eat a buttery rock. So that's the hardest part for me is waiting. But Grandma could wait patiently because she knew what the end result would be. So I've had to learn that lesson as well. So how long is a long time? It's a daily walk with the Lord. It's our entire lives. It's a decision we can make now, but that is fruitful throughout our entire lives. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Good job. And he's consistent even when we're not. So again, in the midst of chaos and uncertainty and war, he is still at work and is still changing hearts. So to wrap it up, we can ask, listen, and obey. And the first two steps are great, the asking and listening, but the obedience has to come as a result of that because the Lord has changed our hearts. We can seek the Lord's guidance and trust him, and we don't have to take matters into our own hands because he's good and he already knows. And he can trust or he can guard whatever we've entrusted to him for that day. Ask the Lord to change you. He changes hearts in a way like no man ever can. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Okay. And consistent, even when we're not. So we may not understand the road that the Lord has us on, but he promises to never leave or forsake his children. Ladies, that's us. We are his children. So David may not have understood why the Lord would have taken away his best friend, why he had him wait for so long to start to fulfill his promise, why he would make him move to another land, and why he would let there be enmity between his house and his best friend's line. That's hard. But David still saw that God is faithful. So there's a song that I want you to write down the title to, and you can YouTube it later this week. It's called If You Want Me To by Jenny Owens, If You Want Me To. And it just talks about how God is faithful. And again, we might not understand why or how he's at work, but he is, and he's good, and he is faithful. He is faithful. So again, the title is If You Want Me To by Jenny Owens. And you're welcome in advance because I love that song. It's so good. So, one last time for the road. Y'all better believe it.
God is faithful.
Okay. I'm going to pray for us and then we'll go to small groups. If you have any questions, you can come up here and Gigi will be up here afterwards to answer those. Lord, we thank you that you are good, you are consistent, and you are faithful. Even when we're not in the midst of chaos, that you are faithful and good. Father, I thank you that your word is true and trustworthy. I thank you that your mercies are new every morning and your love never fails. Father, I thank you that you have a plan for each woman that's in this room and just for the way that you will unfold that. I pray for all of us to trust you and to come to know you in ways like we never have before. And Lord, we just praise you again that you are good. We love you and it's in your name that we pray. Amen.